Welcome to the Cat Attack Podcast. The Cats are fresh off a loss. First time since round three, I think.
Round four,
since we've said the Cats are fresh off a loss. And that they are. It was albeit an 11-point loss. Probably should have been a five-goal loss. The Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast hits you right between the eyeballs again post the loss. We're fresh off last week's unbelievable episode when Hydro just vacanoisened his way through the entire range, and it was unbelievable stuff. We've had some great feedback on Hydro's performance last week. Hopefully we can produce equally amount of gold this afternoon. Ben Cassinelli with you, and I am joined for the Kerr's Hire Podcast by none other than K-Rock's number one caller. In fact, it's so far to the second caller that you can't even hear the band. Tom King joins us.
Hello, Benny. 11-2 still sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. I mean, footy fans just, they are in race. I love to use racing parlances, but they over race, don't they? They just get. We had some responses on, mind you, amongst some measured responses that I think one of our K-Rock followers just suggested stay calm. I think he started his tweet with, which was I think was apt, because there were others who were. We had one caller suggesting that the club just can't, we just can't put up with that as fans. I'm thinking, goodness gracious me. They've lost a game. They've had probably, just off the top of my head, would you have suggested, probably 13 or 14 players who played below par?
Yep.
They probably had three or four who were okay.
Yep.
And they probably had a couple who played well.
Dangerfield and Duncan played well.
Yeah, Duncan turned it over a bit, but he did get a fair bit of it.
Yep.
They had, like Tim Kelly was well down, Joel Selwood was well down, Tom Hawkins had a shocker, Luke Dalhouse was really quiet.
Ken Guthrie had a very poor night.
Yeah, for 150, he didn't have a great night either. It was just one of those nights, unfortunately.
I'll actually tell you who played a very good game and hasn't had a great year, and I know he was injury delayed, it was Zach Tuohy.
Yeah, he did. He got a lot of the ball.
Yep. He had 28 possessions.
Yeah, I know, it's not always about possessions. Because you know what counts
eight
in that?
Eight rebounds.
Yeah, but you know what counts as that, though?
The kick-ins.
Yeah, so seven of them are probably just when he wanders out of the square and kicks it outside 50. So that actually shouldn't be a stat in AFL footy. The kick-in, at the moment, it is classified as a stat.
Yep.
It should not be a stat.
The kick-in never was, but now that you can
play on, it shouldn't be.
If you kick it from still inside the square, I think it's not a stat. But if you go outside and you're called to play on.
And also you're being credited rebound 50s because you're running 15 metres and then kicking it about 36 and it goes 50. It's rubbish, though. That's rubbish.
He was still solid, though.
We were at a possession fest on Sunday, weren't we, Collingwood?
Whoa.
That game had more possessions than a 90-year-old hoarder. It was 860 possessions. Collingwood kicked 13 goals and the Bulldogs kicked
10 or 11.
It was horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. The Cats game on Saturday night, look, it didn't reach any great heights. Port Adelaide, to their credit, played really well. The pressure was good. They played with some intent. They got in the Cats' grill. I mean, what must have been really satisfying from a Port Adelaide perspective about Saturday night was that we had Kenny Hinckley on the pre-game, and he just basically said there's no secret to what the Cats do. They kick it long, they get one to contest, ball comes to ground, the mosquito fleet fly in and wreak havoc, either be it with the ball or in pressure terms. So basically he was saying we need to stop that. I don't think I recall once the ball... A, Tom Hawkins getting a one-on-one.
Rarely.
Or B, Geelong, the mosquito fleet, sort of looking really dangerous and pressuring the opposition a lot. It just didn't happen. That must have been one of the more satisfying wins from Ken Hinckley as a coach, because he obviously came with a plan. They executed perfectly. Interestingly, King, it will be interesting to see whether other clubs can adopt the same method and approach as Port Adelaide, because if you're looking at how to beat the Cats, I think Port Adelaide... went a long way to showing you how to do it.
Yeah, there's a blueprint there. So clearances 52 to 36 in Port Adelaide's favour. Contested possessions 167 to 131.
Yeah, they got pants.
Ouch.
It was one of those nights. I mean,
it had a feeling early too.
Oh, it had a stink bomb on it, didn't it? It had the
from the moment Mitch Duncan missed that shot at goal from the forward pocket, you just had a feeling that there's something just not
Yeah, Glenn 20 wasn't going to fix the. Fix the odour that was coming out of the Cats on Saturday night. In saying that, they lost by 11 points.
Yep.
margin probably should have been more, but they lost by 11 points.
It might have been
and
less.
They conceded 9 goals.
Tommy Atkins. So if Tommy Atkins has a shot at goal, which he probably should have.
Would have taken his best effort from outside 50.
Well, you know, he got to 50, and he probably could have run a bit further. If he has that shot, puts it through, they get it back to 6. They've still got 40 seconds to potentially steal a draw.
I mean, it's probably... It depends where you're glass half full or glass half empty. You could say...
Well, we know which you are and what I am. I'm the full, you're the
empty. Well, I've got a little bit of rosé in my glass.
You're
at the
pessimistic.
Minute. Well, I can be, but I'm a realist. I'm a realist. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. Some people like... I can't say that because we get pulled off the air, but... I'm a realist, but what I'm saying to you is I would suggest that the Cats played really poorly.
Mm.
They had a lot of their key players down, and yet they've lost by 11 points, conceded 9 goals. I would say that there is actually a positive out of that for the
absolutely.
Cats. That they're still in the hunt, despite the fact they were way off in terms of their game. Yeah.
You never thought they were winning it, though. Even when they got back to 9 points.
They didn't deserve to win it.
No.
And you know what? A loss is not the worst thing in the world. What it did... obviously highlight once again is the clearance problem.
Yep.
They have a big problem with clearances. Mm. The coach, did he throw Matthew Knights under the bus at the press conference? Ooh, he hurled him halfway there when he said our clearance work was horrible, I think. And it started poorly and got worse from there.
Is that how they set up, or is that the willingness of those?
Well, that's got to be that's the midfield coach.
But is it the willingness of those to work to that plan, though? If some aren't working to that plan, and we know how offensive-minded the Geelong midfield is, that there's not many there that are willing to...
Well, that's where the art of good coaching is to get them to work to the plan. And Geelong have, I'd say, off the top of my head, in half the games this year struggled in clearances.
Hmm.
There's been patches in games when they've been dominated in clearances. Obviously against GWS and then Port Adelaide. First half against Hawthorn. There's been other games as well. So it's been a theme. So that's got to fall on the coach, doesn't it? I mean, or on the midfield coach.
Midfield coach.
If people aren't pulling in the right direction or not doing what they're being told, that's got to be him to clamp.
Mm.
No, we don't accept that. You're out. If you're moving well, and I don't know that that's actually happening. I'm just we're looking for. Is it? We've mentioned before. Is it the personnel? Is it the ruck? Is it? Does Saturday's game open the door for Zach Smith? Do they try with a ruckman who is actually better? Or taller and perhaps more suited to the actual ruck rather than around the ground.
Does that help? And he'll have the right matchup this week.
Do you reckon they'll play Zach Smith this week?
No.
So they'll go Reece Downey.
Because he wasn't the best ruckman in the VFL last week. Ryan Abbott was.
And from memory, how did Reece Stanley played quite well against O'Brien early on in the year, didn't he?
In round three.
Yeah.
Yep.
Did he win that battle?
Oh, yeah, he did, yep.
So
yeah, he outran him. He outran him.
Stanley's been good enough that you don't just turf him out on the strength of one bad game. But if he was to have his pants pulled down again, I'd say you'd definitely need to pull the trigger because each game the window shortens in terms of getting things right.
Yep.
And I just wonder, it's the clearances has been an issue. Is it a ruck issue? Is it a midfield issue? You've got to find that out. But that's got to fall on Matthew Knights. And Chris Scott wasn't backward in suggesting that the clearance work was absolutely abysmal. And by extension, that falls on the midfield coach.
If Travis Spoke had any interest in finishing his career for a couple of years at Geelong, would you be happy to have him in the form he's in right now?
Yeah, he's been in good form. He has, yeah. I mean, Geelong have got plenty there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't... He's not going anywhere.
No.
He's going to be a Port Adelaide player for life, and so he should be. That'd be a better footy story than coming to Geelong.
I'll tell you who else I'd love to have in my side if I was a coach. Is Robbie Gray.
Yeah, he's a bit silky, isn't he? I tell you, they've got some good kids. That Connor Rosie, is he going to be a serious...
So they got Rosie, they got Dersma.
Dersma's good.
Butters. Joel Garner showed a bit.
Joel Garner, the West Indian paceman.
What did you make of Hartlett's hit on...
Yeah, I thought it was ordinary.
And it didn't...
Didn't even get a mention.
Didn't get a mention in the MRP.
I thought it was ordinary. I think...
How is Jack Henry not got broken rib? Like, he must be tough.
Well, he'd be sore.
Oh.
They put him back out there, so you'd think he must be... Well, I don't know if it'd be okay. Would have been sore after the game. It had to have been. I wonder whether it opens the door for Jed Buse to come into play on Eddie Betts. Yeah, look, I thought it was ordinary. In modern footy, 30 years ago, that gets highlighted on the nightly news as a tough piece of play,
yeah,
as a physical piece of play.
Bit of macho.
Yeah, and in today's footy, you just take your eye off the ball and target the man with the intent to hurt. I just, you know, if you hurt a player with a bump, that's where everything's fair in love and war. That's unfortunately part of footy. But when you're actually going, making your objective the man, I didn't think it was a great look, and I was staggered that it wasn't even mentioned. Didn't even get a mention.
Amon got a week.
Yeah, well, that was ordinary.
Yeah, and Dougal Howard got a week.
Doogie. Old Doogster. He got a week. Well, sorry, he should have teased punching people in the guts way off the ball.
Yeah, there was some talk that they may challenge it, saying that the next stoppage was only a clearance kick away, that they were going to argue that he was in play.
So he's allowed to punch him in the stomach.
Well, no. That it was considered an off-the-ball incident, but they were going to potentially argue that it was in play, but they didn't do it. But remember, a bloke called Barry Hall punched Matt Maguire in the midriff in a prelim final.
Yeah, of course.
Got a week's suspension.
And then went to
appeal, and they argued that it was in play. It was he
took it to the UN, didn't he?
Very similar situation.
Oh, of course. But what happened? Barry Hall was allowed to play where? What a surprise.
Yeah, what a shock.
Trent Cotchin knocked out Dylan Shield, took his eye off the ball, bumped him in the head, knocked him out in the 2017 prelim final.
Guess
what happened to him?
Played in the grand final.
Of course he did. The AFL have an agenda about who plays and who doesn't when it matters or when they pick and choose. I mean, come on, that was if that Trent Cotchin thing was just, that was one of the more diabolical things I've seen.
If Tim Kelly polls well in the best and fairest from this game.
Oh, just absolutely. We need to get Des Gleeson back to launch an inquiry.
Ah, oh, dear. For those who are only listening for this first time, Benny thinks that the Tim Kelly's a lock to win the
degree. They've already had it. They had it at the midweek.
Did they?
Yeah.
Watered it.
It's just players only. They've handed it out to him.
Of course, this is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack podcast. Of course, Kerr's Hire local for over 30 years. Looking forward to Adelaide. The Crows were good against Richmond. They're coming off a 15-day break, the Crows. The Cats will only be coming off a 6.
You know, when you were younger and you had the date with that girl that you'd sort of wanted to have a date with, and you just thought, oh, everything's got to be right, and you set yourself for it.
Yep.
You know, you had everything. You just went through every scenario in your cranium, and the there were scenarios galore, and it hopefully ended up with maybe a scenario at the end. But the Crows, they are like that. They're like that kid who's picked himself up a lovely little bit of something that's going to hopefully maybe end in marriage. Well, they are going to set themselves for Friday night because they need to. I don't think anybody. Have they convinced anybody they're a genuine top four?
If they were to win here.
No, that's what I'm saying. But this is the game where you actually put your hand up and say, we are a genuine top four. They've got a pretty healthy list to choose from.
They do.
They've got.
Well, when they're leaving Sam Jacobs out.
Well, this guy's been Riley O'Brien. He's been Conan, they're calling him. He's been amazing. Yeah, they've got everything going for them. They're coming off a good win. They've got their form over here is not great, though, is it?
No, they've won 7 of their last 9, the Crows, and their 2 losses are by a point to the Lions at the Gabba and by 12 points to the Eagles at Adelaide Oval. So they're actually in, and even then, their biggest loss of the year was 32 points to Hawthorn.
And you know what, this is really good for the Cats because, you know, the good side is not about if you lose a game, it's how you respond to the loss. And Geelong at home will be favoured to win, they'll be favoured to bounce back. But the Crows have everything going for them in terms of setting their season up and making a statement. So it's a really, really good and finally intriguing sort of Friday night contest because last week's Friday night contest, Sydney and Hawthorn, oh my God. Valium actually was watching that game to help its sleep. It was absolutely horrendous.
So Adelaide is 3-17 at Cadinia Park.
Yeah, they don't. They're not good down here.
Do you want to know when they last won at Cadinia Park?
Well, I'm tipping that Peter Visca might have been playing, was he?
Mark Visca.
Oh, Mark Visca, his brother. Yes, he used to call him Death. That was his nickname.
So they've lost 10 in a row. They haven't been here since 2017, but they won. They came 4 consecutive years and lost all 4 of those. Their last win here was round 10, 2003, on Sunday, June the 1st. On that day, Gary Ablett was playing just his. I can tell you it would be about in the 20s, I reckon, for games played. It was about his, quickly looking, where
was Mark Bickley the captain?
It was Ablett's 22nd game, and Bickley was playing. He had 25 disposals, which was the most. This is how much footy's changed in 15 years. The Crows only had 287 touches. Geelong had 247. Scott Welch kicked 3 goals, 2.
I reckon the Collingwood Bulldogs game on the weekend, those two sides would have had close to that at halftime.
Yep. Aaron Lord kicked 3 goals, 2 from 9 disposals for the Cats. Cameron Ling with 28 disposals. Joel Corey with 20. Peter Accardi with 9.
Oh, Rico. Talking about freshening up.
Yes. So, no, got beaten by 17 points. In that game. Brett Roseberry was umpiring that day. He's still going around. It was only his 42nd game.
Wow. Yeah, it's a long time between drinks for the Crows at KP. Let's hope that doesn't change on Friday night.
Charlie Gardner, Paul Chambers, Matthew McCarthy, Will Slade, David
Sarge
Briggs.
Chambers.
Were among those in the
no wonder
Geelong
the Cats
side.
Got beaten.
Who was playing for the Eagles of note? Oh, Tyson Edwards. Was
the Eagles?
Yeah. Sorry, the Crows. Edwards, McLeod.
There's some handy players there. No wonder they won that game.
John Cock.
Old Stiffy. Yeah.
Simon Goodwin.
Yeah.
Ronnie Burns.
Rockin' Ronnie.
Matty Clark in the ruck. Nigel Smart was still going around. Ben Hart was still going around. Prosciutto only had 4 possessions.
He must have got injured.
Must have got hurt.
Yeah, he would have thought.
Must have got hurt. Bomber was coaching. Bomber was only in his 77th game. And Gary Ayres was coaching the Crows.
Well, I remember that game because Gary Ayres had come back and I think Geelong fans were giving him a bit of lip and he wasn't too happy.
Was it that one?
Was it that one?
I don't think it was that one.
It might have been earlier.
I reckon the one where they were getting stuck into him was, I'm just having a quick look here.
Was that in 99?
No, it was 2000. 99 was his last year. So it was Saturday, 8th of July 2000 and the Crows won by 7 points. That,
yes.
that was their first, oh no, hang on, sorry, I lie. They lost by 7 points, the Crows. Must have been the year after when they won by 3. Was that a couple of years later when they won by 3? Anyway, that's by the by. Is there going to be changes?
Well, it depends if they're sore. I mean,
Rowan. They said he's recovered pretty well. Chris Scott faced the media Tuesday morning.
He wasn't good after the game.
No.
He thought he was Lindsay Lohan, not Gary Rowan.
So he will probably. Is this where you maybe.
Well, you don't certainly don't risk anybody who's not right. Is Jack Henry sore? We mentioned that. Does that open the door for Buse to come in? There's an obvious matchup for Buse with Betts. That's one that they potentially will look at. Does Reece Stanley? Do they go with him again? You'd have to think on his body of work, which hasn't been outstanding, but it's been okay.
Solid.
He had a stinker on Saturday night. Do they give him the chance to rebound, or do they go for like in terms of Zach Smith against Conan O'Brien? I mean, they're similar sort of ruckman. Do they look at that just to see whether that alters their midfield mix? Because Adelaide, I'd imagine, are probably reasonably handy at clearances.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's all sorts of things to ponder. Luke Delhouse, how's his ankle?
No, he's fine.
Tim Kelly, how's his whatever he hurt?
No, he's
we're not sure
no,
what he hurt, but
fine,
he had something.
Fine as well. The interesting one is the skipper does have a knee issue, but yeah. They reckon he's coming out the other side of the problem. A bit of knee tendinitis.
He was quiet on the weekend. So, yeah, look, it's I'd say if everything was equal, Kingy, and they're all available, I'd say probably very few changes, if any. You'd go with that group again, and because they've been good all year, you give them a chance to respond as a group. If somebody saw, there are options there, and the good thing is that there are options. So, the one that where they may look just to make a change may be in the ruck.
Talking about Adelaide and clearances, they are 5th.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not a bad clearance. So big Conan gives them first use, and they got the Crouch sisters.
But do you know who's 2nd for clearances and not going very well?
Oh, Melbourne.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there's no secret why. They've got an 800-centimetre ruckman who gets it 34 times in a game. So Geelong had Max Gorn. I reckon you could pencil him in for the flag.
Geelong and 9th.
They don't, unfortunately.
For clearances.
Have we got any questions, Kingy?
Oh, I've got
what
plenty,
have we got?
Plenty of
what
questions.
Have we got
Max for the Blake counts? Off the. At KROQ Football Twitter. Question 1, if fully fit and banked a few VFL games, would you play Nekiah Cocker 2-week 1 of the finals?
No.
Cats did a similar thing with Rook in 07.
No, well, you couldn't possibly play Nekiah Cocker 2. He's done absolutely nothing. He's been injured. He's got... No, I think they've put a massive red line through him for the year.
No, he'll play.
He'll play in the VFL.
Yep, he'll play in the VFL.
Oh, I just, you just couldn't fathom he could get back. It would be one of the biggest comebacks since something that came back.
Lazarus.
Well, he didn't come back, Lazarus, because he was front and square the whole time.
I suspect by the end of July, early August, we'll see Nakia Cockatoo.
Yeah, well, that'd be good. Mm. He's one of my favourite players for the Cats. I love the way he plays, but to get back to senior footy would be... It'd be a big challenge. If he could do it, it'd be fantastic. It'd be a great story.
Does Gary Rowan need a week in the VFL besides one or two acts? Hasn't fired a shot since Easter Monday.
He's been a bit quiet, yeah. He was quiet until he got injured.
I don't think he's been that... I don't think Easter Monday's the last time he played well. He's been pretty solid in other games since then.
Easter Monday, that was around five, wasn't it?
Around six.
Yeah. No, he's certainly played some better games. Oh, okay. He has been quiet the last couple of weeks. He was quiet until he got injured.
Sorry, I lie, around five.
On Saturday night. I wouldn't have thought you'd be looking at pumping him into the Scoobs. You just sort of ride it out. He's playing in a position where you're going to have peaks and troughs. You're not a midfielder who's going to get it 28 times every week. You're going to have games. And Saturday night game, the way the ball came down, it was very difficult for the forwards to get a kick. Dalhouse struggled. Mm. Parfitt struggled. Atkins struggled other than when he went on the ball for a little bit. So he wasn't the only one.
Do the Cats, this is from Mick Howley, do the Cats need to buy a wholesale Egyptian rug store and set discounts to 76% to help their clearances? not overly concerned with the loss. Didn't do much right and lost by under two goals. Hopefully the knife, Stanley, sharpens up a bit this
week. Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. The Egyptian rug sale. That is magnificent.
That's some of the best.
Do you know that there's only three things that are certain in life?
Yes,
death,
they are.
Yep. Taxes, and rug sales. There's always a rug sale somewhere. Why is it?
I'm not exactly sure.
There's everywhere you look on the TV or you'll see on a shop somewhere, somebody's having a rug sale.
From Lord Ted, should Constable come in? Hasn't been setting the world alight in the VFL.
Didn't he have it 30-something times in the twos on the weekend?
Against Frankston.
Yeah, okay. He's still doing his apprenticeship, he's Charlie Constable. So who does he come? I mean, Scott Selwood probably better than Charlie Constable?
Yep.
I would have thought Scott Selwood is, if you're going to bring somebody in who's that sort of player, it's Scott Selwood.
Yep.
He's a hard body, he's experienced, he's got miles in his legs now. Constable is only a second-year player. We seem to talk about him like he's played 80 games and he's being hard done by because he's in the twos. He's been at the club for 18 months and he's played, what, 7 or 8 senior games?
8, I think.
Yeah, you serve your apprenticeship. I mean, you look at Hawthorn back in the day. All their players, Ben Allen came across as a first-round draft pick and spent the entire year playing in their reserves team. There's nothing wrong with developing in the twos. Constable's, I really like Constable, but there's nothing wrong with applying your trade and doing it in the Scoobs.
Yep, absolutely. Off the cat of the big footy, we've had a few questions. Let's have a roll through and see what we've got. Daz Broncos, going back to the late 80s and early 90s for some political references here, just like the Banana Republic and the recession we had to have, surely this was the loss we had to have for being nowhere near the class and intensity of Port, and 11-point loss papers over some issues should have been a greater margin. Clearances were not much good, even though we've been getting it done, good time, teams find a way type deal. We didn't, and we weren't close. All that said, the Crows will be a test. Is there a massive response coming, and did Kenny deliver the AFL blueprint for shutting us down?
Yeah, it was good stuff there from Daz. He's all over it, cheap Egyptian suit sort of style. Look, I agree with all that. It's a loss. You tend to look back at it. I reckon you probably clubs look back at it and they learn more out of the losses like that, and it just resets you a little bit. It doesn't. And no one, players don't get ahead of themselves by, consciously. It's just a subconscious thing. And there's nothing wrong with having a game where you struggle and you can't find a way out. And the Cats, there's nothing wrong with the Cats' effort on Saturday night. The one area that Geelong really got beaten in, and I don't know if there's a whole lot you can do. Mark Neill, in our special comments chair, was suggesting that there is. But, the long kick down the line, the spoil or the ball hits the ground. Geelong got mauled from that ball, so that there's obviously need. You would have thought there was some sort of system for that. Like when that long kick comes down the line, there's got to be people who are doing certain things. Geelong got absolutely hammered in that area of the game. Just that sort of loose ball from a contest.
Yep.
Not so much a stoppage, but just a general play. They got absolutely destroyed.
Very reactionary.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, something to work on, though. The thing is, there's always something to work on.
And Chris Scott said that today. He goes, we're not perfect.
No.
And he goes, even if we'd won by 11 points, there's still areas to improve on. So I think the Cats are well and truly. And he's been banging on this for about a month. We're on top of the ladder. It doesn't mean we're the best team in it.
No. But he's also deflecting. He doesn't want people to talk about the Cats as bad. If you're 11-2 and you're effectively two games clear on top of the ladder, you would be considered the best side.
But if you look back at the Cats got some clubs on the hop early in the season.
Yeah.
Like that Collingwood win now.
They've been very good though, Kingy.
Oh, they have.
Don't downplay it. No, the coach is just trying to deflect any attention. He wants someone else to be favourite. Put your hand up and say, yeah, okay, well, you're not going to put your hand up and say, yeah, we're the best team in it. You say, we are one of the best teams in it. Our record suggests that.
Yep.
We've played good footy consistently. Even when we've lost, we've been good. We've been able to win games where it's been a struggle. We've found different ways to win. We've won with the shootout. We've won tight. Our defence is still ranked number one in the league. There's so many things that suggest that Geelong are the best team in it. And I think you sometimes spend half your life trying to deflect that you're a pretty good team. Well, embrace it and say, yeah, okay, we've got things to work on, but we're a pretty good footy team.
We've spoken about Joel Selwood, Daz Broncos raises him. Does Fogg and Freddie get a sniff? So he's talking about Lachie Fogarty and Fogarty might be the one for Rowan.
Well, maybe. I mean, they're different sort of players.
But who else is there?
Yeah, well, they seem keen to get Fogarty in.
Yep.
So different, very different. He doesn't have anywhere near the athleticism of... And he's not super quick.
A name got raised today by Chris Scott, and he raised it when he was talking about... I asked the question of who's sort of banging down the door, and he gave some names, and Nathan Kruger's name got mentioned for the first time.
Oh, wow. There you go.
So
does that mean Radigalea is not coming in?
No, Radigalea will play.
So who goes? So Fort's out for him.
Yep.
Yeah.
So do they? Kruger's mobile enough that he can play as that Gary Rowan third, sort of taller option.
Yeah.
What's Rowan height wise?
189.
189. Yeah. Okay. Kruger's a bit taller than that, but Kruger can also play back. So they might look at him for a couple of different roles. Jack Henry's obviously the question mark in terms of whether he'll be right to go after being crunched last week. The Gov, he's got a few questions, but probably one that's of interest. Menegola or Cam Guthrie? Is Cam Guthrie's presence in the midfield in the midfield rotations a contributor to our inability to win the centre clearances? He's not a massive clearance player, Cam Guthrie.
No, he's competent. He's competent. Yeah, it's probably not his 100% go. He's really good. What I like about Cam Guthrie is that he actually defends quite well, really well, one-on-one. Mm. And it's a skill not everybody has. Mitch Duncan isn't a great... If he's caught one-on-one defensively, he can struggle.
Yep.
Guthrie's a really good one-on-one defender. He keeps his feet. He's quick. He's quite powerful. So that's his go. But, yeah, look, I mean, he didn't play that well on the weekend, but he's been reasonable. I think we get a bit excited about... Suddenly lose a game, we've got to make 18 change.
They were hoping Menegola would be back by now. There's been a bit of a delay with him. They did a little bit more work in the surgery than they anticipated they'd have to do. So he's at least a couple of weeks away. So
starting to close in for him.
Yeah.
He's been out for quite some time.
Mid-May.
He's going to need at least 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks in the Scoobs.
Yeah, I reckon his last game was... Who did they play before? Did he play against North Melbourne? And then didn't play against the Dogs the following week.
Yeah, he's been out a while.
Yep. Bortolino, 2019, has seen Selwood undergo a positional switch, moving away from his favourite on-ball role and onto the wing. The accepted narrative seems to be that this has been an unequivocal success, not just in terms of the way it will help us long-term, but also in terms of the short-term benefits it has yielded us. But to what extent is that narrative actually true? I can buy the it will help us in the future part of things, but I'm unconvinced of how useful it's been to our premiership push. We've been getting beaten in the clearances most weeks, and I'm not sure there's a convincing case to be made. There's been too many through the midfield who have made significant gains in their development besides Tim Kelly, who was already playing on ball and would have done so anyway, even if Joel had stayed in the centre. Which inside mids have raised their game a level or two in Joel's absence from the clinches?
Well, Kelly.
Yeah, well, he's mentioned that. He did say Kelly.
I think Mitch Duncan has probably been a little bit more influential in clearances around the ball. Not so much winning them, but if you want him on the end of it. Dangerfield's always been good at clearances. Constable was solid at clearances when he was playing, but he's only a kid. I think Atkins has shown a little bit in clearance situations. Parfitt's pretty good at clearances. Geelong have, on paper, have got a really good clearance team. They don't have a good ruckman, but they've got to figure it out.
They have a good ruckman. They don't have a great ruckman.
Well, he's not really a ruckman. He's never been a ruckman, Rhys Stanley. He didn't come to the club as a ruckman. He'd never shown anything in the ruck, and they're trying to make him a ruckman. And he plays like an on-baller, and I think he fools you a little bit in that he looks okay on the outside. He's quite a good mark. And he can get some possessions and he can do some things that potentially other ruckmen can't do. But he's not one of those, he's not a ruckman that loves the physical contact. He does not like the bash and crash. He doesn't like Grundy, you know, like Grundy and Gawn. And I mean, this is the irony, Kingy. The four teams who probably can win the flag.
Yep.
Collingwood.
Yep.
Geelong.
Yep.
West Coast.
Yep.
GWS. I'd be surprised if the premiership came out of one of those is not one of those four teams.
Yep.
So you've got Rhys Stanley, then you've got Brodie Grundy. The gap there is huge. You've got Nick Natanui returning for the West Coast Eagles, who's physical. He loves the physical stuff, and you've got Shane Mumford, who's super physical.
Mm.
So you've got the three, potentially one of the four premiership ruckmen, there's one that is the odd man out,
yep.
And it's Rhys Stanley.
Time will tell.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I've said it, he's got to be doing plenty around the ground to cover up for the fact he's not that ruckman. And yep. If he's not, like on Saturday night, he just had his pants pulled down, he was absolutely... He had a stinker.
Landgraft, following a deflating result, what do you guys think is the best reason to panic versus the best reason to stay the course? Well, I actually don't think there's any reason to panic.
No, there's no reason to panic. Wow, they're 11-2.
Yep. And bless Benny for acknowledging not only the David Graff.
Oh, that was outrageous.
But more crucially, my Twitter handle, just remember to beware of the battle cattle, but do not fear them.
That was absolute gold.
Thank you for that, Landgraf.
That was fantastic.
Now, just some news on the...
On news.
The Cat Attack podcast.
What's happened?
We're going to be recording on Sunday.
Oh, we are too. We're having a Sunday recording. I'll be fresh from the pulpit. I got to go to church on Sundays,
so I'll be
down here just straight after church.
All right, so you'll come on in and we'll record.
I'll
then
be just fresh off singing some hymns,
and then the following
Yahweh,
the following week, we will not have you here.
No,
you'll be gone.
I'm going away,
and we're going to have Pete Ryan.
.com. Pistol Pete.
He's going to join us from the
He'll
Age.
Be all over it, Pistol Pete.
Yeah, looking forward to having him here and having some sensible football conversations.
Oh, God, what are you saying? If some of the stuff that ended up with it that does not make it onto the airwaves of the Cat Attack podcast got out there, this would be an absolute cracker. But Kingy, unfortunately, I need to let the listeners know, Kingy, he keeps his front and square. I'm not having a go at him, but he does edit out some stuff that just, well, I'm hoping at times will get through to the keeper. And I listen back and it never... ever gets through to the keeper.
And that's why we're still on air.
Yes.
And we have Kerr's Hire sponsoring us, because I don't think they want to sponsor.
Oh, look, I don't know about that.
Kerr's Hire, of course, Geelong's official Wackanoisen dealer.
Who?
Wackanoisen. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove, kerrshire.com.au. Benny, big Friday night. You and I calling all the action.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Kingy. I don't do many games at GMHBA, but I'm...
It's a... And you do the roster.
Well, I like to...
Oh, you like to give others a go.
No, I like to, you know, I know my place in the pecking order, so...
Yes, very low.
Yes, that's right. I'm calling Port Arlington versus Motawarri next week.
There are a couple of Bellarine League teams too, just out of interest.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Well, I'll have to brush myself up on the player ID for the Bellarine. No, I'm genuinely looking forward to it. It's a good test for the Cats. It's a good test for the Crows. It's come at a really good time for Geelong off a loss. They got, you know, a little, nothing to prove, but, you know, you want to bounce back from a loss. All good sides do. And Adelaide, we're not saying, oh, geez, Adelaide are coming over without X, Y, and Z. They're coming over with the best cattle they can on the back of the bus.
Yeah.
And
there's a couple that won't. Millera, question mark.
Yeah, but he's a...
Tom Lynch won't play.
Yeah, okay, Lynch is probably an out. Miller is a good player. He's not a you know, he's not one that you can't. I mean, Geelong could say, you know, Metagola's not playing, and he's not. Covering. It's not like they're coming over without Betts and without Talia and without Walker. You know, it's a good side. So, good. Really, really. Hopefully, weather okay because it's supposed to be crap on Saturday.
Nice for the rest of the week, and then Saturday.
Animals coming. have suggested they're going to pair up on Saturday.
It's Geelong's last Friday night game of the year.
Is it?
Too. Yeah. Oh, no. Unless they play Friday night, round 23, which I wouldn't think Geelong Carlton is going to be.
No, Geelong Carlton's not going to. That's not going to.
That's probably going to be Saturday twilight, I reckon.
No, that's not going to get your joystick moving, that Geelong Carlton game.
And of course, then if there are finals potentially fall on a Friday. All right, Benny.
Rightio. Go the Cats.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale, and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.